All right, so now that I've got you warmed up, it's time to talk about our verses that we've been going over. This series is called Psalms to Remember, and the reason we want to remember them is because we're working on memorizing them. I'm not doing very good, but you probably are. You probably just got them all down, right? It's not easy, but it can be done. So, Psalm 117, this is our first one. So, if you would, say it with me. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That's really weak, praise the Lord. It's got an exclamation point after it, right? Okay, let's try it again. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. There you go. Okay. That was our first verse. That was the easiest one. 28 words. They're getting harder now. Okay? I think we go to 43 or something like that here. Okay? This one has a nice flow to it. Remember, these are psalms that were sung as they would go to the temple to worship. All right? So here's somebody recognizing, going and looking at the temple and seeing those who are serving the Lord in the temple, and they reflect on it and make a song about it. So here we go. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. And you know, when you read a verse like that and you quote it, it's all right to raise your hands too. All right? That's just mimicking what they give you to be able to do. So you got that one down, right? You got the Lord, the Lord, the Lord in the first three sentences. Easy to remember there, right? And then you get the Lord, the fourth one, to begin the sentence. So maybe that'll help you out mnemonically to be able to do that, right? Let's do it again. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. All right. So, that one, first one was big idea, simple. Praise the Lord. This one was bless the blesser. The one who's blessed us, B, capital B, the blesser, God Himself. He's blessed us, and they're encouraging us. Let's bless Him. Let's give Him praise. Let's exalt Him. Let's make sure His name is famous. All the things that we need to do to be able to say to Him, we are thankful for You. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us. All right, so they're getting bigger now. Psalm 131, right? O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Good job of reading the passage as it's meant to be read. The psalmist says, I'm not proud, first two lines, I'm not proud. And I'm not going to, as I said last week, I'm not going to fix my mind. I'm not going to occupy my mind on speculation about God. I'm going to fix my mind on revelation about God, His Word, what I know. I'm not going to get wrapped up in my things and what I think about God. And I think, no, I'm going to get myself wrapped up in the revelation that He's given to us in His Word, how He's revealed Himself. All right? Let's go again. Oh, Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. The phrase that's been sticking is from that poem that I gave you from Greg Cole, who comes here. And the poem was, Lord, this day, let me lean into this day while I lean into You. That is so good. Lord, just let me lean into this day But let me lean into you as I lean into this day. And that leads us to today. Oh, that one was calm in the chaos. Let's praise the Lord, bless the blesser, calm in the chaos. Maybe you've needed that this week. Calm in the chaos of life. And we're in Psalm 133 today. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded his blessing, life forevermore. In verse 1, we've got a call. I think he's even rejoicing. And then he describes what this unity could look like in his context, in his world. And we will try to translate that into our world. But he starts off with this call. It's interesting as we think about these verses. This one has how many verses? Yeah, three. Okay. 63 words. Getting pretty big now. A song of ascent. They're ascending, going to the temple, and it's written by David. Getting a little bit harder to memorize, aren't they? Yeah, that's a lot of words, but you can do it if you want to. Someone asked me this week if we were going to get to some shorter psalms, and I told them we already did the shorter psalms. We're way past those guys, all right? We're down to the longer ones. We started with the, 28 words, Psalm 117, and so we're past those. Somebody else kiddingly told me, I think I shared this last week as they're going out to first service, they said, just don't ask us to memorize Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 176 verses, just in case you didn't know that, okay? We're sticking with the shorter ones, six or seven of the shorter ones that are before us. So he says here, brothers, behold how good it is when the brothers dwell in unity. Obviously, David writes this. I think he could be maybe even looking out at the throng of people that are gathered around the temple. Maybe they're singing, maybe they're dancing, they're rejoicing, bringing honor to the Lord, and he can see them, and he can see the beauty that's taking place when the body, we call it the body of Christ nowadays, but then we call it the family of God, and those that are God-fearers and worshipers, we're bringing honor to the Lord and lifting high his name and honoring him and giving the glory that is due him being a part of their lives. So, it's a good thing when we're united in Christ, what he's done for us, and then we have a bit of worship. Worship is not just singing. You understand that. That's just one aspect of worship. It's one way we can do it. So I'm defining it sometimes just say musical worship. That's the musical part. We're worshiping God right now. We worship God and we greet one another. We worship, we walk out and love on each other and care for one another. All those things are a part of worshiping God, giving praise and glory and honor to him. And think about David. Think about this situation. He would know aspects of division and disunity in his life, and just like you do. But think about David as he's writing this, as he's thinking about this, watching these people. David had to run away from somebody in his own kingdom, Saul. 1 Samuel 19, that's just one of the places where David is running away from Saul. Even in the own kingdom, now David wasn't the king yet, but even in the kingdom of Israel, there was disunity, there was division. And he knew that as Saul was chasing him. You know, Saul wanted to throw that spear and pin him against the wall. He knew that. He also knew that division within the nations that were around him. As they sought to conquer and take the land that belonged to them, he had to fight the Philistines I don't know how many times. To be able to do that. He knew what division was. He knew what disunity was. He even knew it in his own family. As he's getting older, his own son, Absalom, wants to take over the kingdom, throw a coup, have a conspiracy. He wants to take over his kingdom. He knew what division was. He knew what disunity was around him. As we think about unity, what are the things that I wrote down for myself? What are the things that destroy unity? Pride. Selfishness. Opinions. As one of the men said in our Thursday morning little small group, he said, opinions? Oh, yeah. And mine are right all the time. We all know that. We know the struggle with that. How about gossip? Lack of sensitivity? Offenses, whether perceived or real? Being careless with words, saying more than we need to say? Lies and looks. Lies and looks will cause disunity. What about Satan? Oh, he wants, I don't know if disunites a word or not, but he wants to break us apart. Our own flesh will speak and do things that we don't want it to do. Those are all things that destroy unity. What are things that develop unity? How about humility? Truth? The Holy Spirit? Selflessness? Not saying anything? The wise man once said, nothing. It's a really good statement. The wise man once said, nothing. Being sensitive to the situation around you can develop unity. Being kind to everyone because you don't know the battles somebody's going through. The various places you go, being kind, because you don't know what they're going through, what they might be struggling with. What demonstrates unity in a church? Sitting together, not claiming your seat. You walk in and you go, they're in my seat. You might not say anything, but that's what you're thinking. Some of you even are in different seats today. Somebody must have been in your seat, huh? I mean, but think about it. And I can give you illustrations because somebody gave me an illustration this morning about they went to a church and they sat in somebody's seat and they got told it was their seat. That's not going to develop unity. That's not going to bring us together, right? I don't think we have too much problem here because none of you put your name on the seat anyway. And I'm glad for that. But, you know, you do kind of sit in the same places. I do too. But anybody wants my seat down here, you can have it. Front row, bingo, you can have my seat, okay? But sitting together. How about praying together? Welcoming one another, greeting one another. When you come in, when you leave. Smiling. That's hard to get smiles out of some of you. I'm trying my best. Smiling. It's a wonderful way to know that we're together and that we're valuable. About serving. I guarantee you, four guys going to South Sudan, they need to be a unit. And they're going to work really, really hard, shoulder to shoulder, helping each other out. There's nothing like doing that. We never be together, helping each other out. Maybe doing the hard task. Sometimes, you know, we don't like doing the hard task. And I admit, you know, I can have a hard time at home doing that. Doing what the hard task is, what's before me. But that demonstrates unity. How about forgiveness? Being unoffendable. I've told you about the book, Unoffendable. I was thinking about the one another's as I was writing. I wasn't writing my sermon, but I was writing new things to it. I usually add about 50 words to my sermon every Sunday morning when I read through it. Things that have come to my mind. I think about those one another's in Scripture. They demonstrate unity. by rejoicing with one another and grieving with one another, honoring one another, confessing to one another, loving one another, meeting the needs of others, hospitality, sharing it, patience with one another, blessing one another, not repaying evil for evil. I turn to Romans chapter 12, which is such a good chapter about the one another's right there, beginning about verse 8 to the end of the chapter. All those things demonstrate that we're united around Jesus Christ. We want to bring honor to Him, and we have our differences. We put it this way. We want to have unity, not uniformity, because we're not all the same. We're different. God has made us different. He's good about that. We need to be good about that too. But we're united together around Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and the family of God and the brotherhood of what we do. And that's what David sees right here. He sees these people worshiping the things that they're doing. They're worshiping, and he rejoices in that. Beloved, behold how good and pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell in unity. You see, unity needs humility. And humility breeds unity. Unity takes for us to be humble with one another. And as we're humble with one another, it's going to develop unity. Think with me. When was the last time you experienced the good and pleasantness of division? We're all divided. We're angry at one another. Oh, how good and pleasant that is. It's not at all. We know that. But think about the time when you've been together and things are going well. People are united. They're moving together the same way. And how good and pleasant that is. Big difference. You know that. Huge difference there. David's rejoicing in that. He's seeing this. And it's powerful to him. It moves him to write a song that we get to look at even today. Going on, thinking a little bit more here. One of my favorite scripture passages about unity is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let's put it up on the screen there. Why don't you read it with me? I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager, or make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The reason I have make every effort, that's the New International Translation, and I think that's much more picturesque than just eager. Make every effort. Not just give it a shot. Hope it happens. No. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is what we're called to do. This is a command. Not just, well, you know, think. No, this is what we're called to do. How valuable and important it is. And I rejoice my 23 years here at Majestic. The Majestic family has sought to live out unity. We're not perfect. We've had some bumps in the roads, a few potholes. Doesn't always come about like we want. And when it doesn't, it's hurt and it's hard and it's hurtful. But for the most part, we've worked hard to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And in that, we could rejoice and say, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, as David did. As he looked out and saw the worshipers there, he rejoiced in that. I look out and I rejoice in it too. Let's keep doing that because we want to honor the precious name of Jesus. Let's keep after it. Let's keep working toward that. So David rejoices in the unity that he sees as these worshipers come. And then he tries to describe it for us in verses 2 and 3. And again, this is in his world, in his context. So it may not be familiar to us, but it was to him. And now we want to be able to understand what this goodness and pleasantness of unity is. He pictures it in verse 2. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robe. He's saying this precious oil that's poured on Aaron. God explained it to you. This is the commissioning of Aaron as the high priest. It's mentioned in Exodus 29, Exodus 30, and Leviticus 8. They detail just a little bit about this kind of commissioning, this ordaining of Aaron to being the high priest, the first high priest that is before. And he says that the beauty of that, this oil being poured, is just like the goodness of the unity of believers. Maybe this oil was only used for this commission. This oil was only to be used for this commissioning and for Aaron. And it had a special purpose. It wasn't for any other purpose. It was only for this commissioning, only for this ordination to his being a part of the ministry. I kind of wrote that in my notes. Only the best for the best. One of the questions we had on Thursday morning was, we were talking as men, we're like, so what? How do they make this oil? Well, here's what it says in Exodus 30, 22. It says, the oil was made out of olive oil mixed with four of their best spices. This was really good stuff. But it's only for this commissioning. The other priests, they had oil smeared across their forehead, but they didn't have it poured on them like this. This was so special that God had for Aaron to be commissioned that way. In Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about Aaron as high priest, and it talks about Jesus as a high priest. And of course, it says that Jesus is the greater high priest, right? Because Aaron had to keep offering sacrifices. Jesus sacrificed once. That was good enough. And he's the Son of God, all right? But it doesn't say in Hebrews 5, it doesn't talk about his commissioning, but think about the commissioning. Aaron had this commissioning. Oil is poured on his head. It's a very special time. The people witness it. They see what is taking place. But Jesus also was commissioned in his baptism. His public ministry began with that baptism. There was this commissioning that took place. And in that, there was unity. As they were with Aaron, they were united in commissioning him. But when Jesus was baptized, who commissioned him? The Father was there. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus is there. And then Holy Spirit, as a dove, is there. And presence is there. I guess they're kind of all together. That's the Godhead. It's a beautiful picture of the Trinity. All of them are there. The essence, God in one, but three different personalities, three different ministries. And in that, we see the commissioning, this ordaining that God is saying of his Son, this is the ministry I have for you. You're going to carry it on now for these next 3 years. It's a beautiful picture of this commissioning in God's deal. So here's what he's trying to say. He's trying to say the goodness, unity, its goodness and its pleasantness is a picture of that oil being poured on him. It's a really good thing. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what unity looks like. Now, we don't understand that well because that's not a part of what we do. Maybe you'd understand this. See, today, if you want a commercial in the Super Bowl, you probably bought three of them, I bet you. 30-second commercials because they're only $8 million a piece. Did you buy three of them? But maybe you saw this meme before. You've seen this meme. You should be as excited about church as about the Super Bowl. So when your pastor makes a point this Sunday, pour Gatorade over his head. Not the same anointing, okay? Not the same anointing as Aaron and the high priest, all right? Maybe that's just say if he makes a good point. Because he's going to make lots of points. But if he gets a good one, then you can do it. Don't do it, okay? Just a little bit of fun with you, okay? So it's a picture. This oil is a picture as it's poured. It's a picture of the goodness and the pleasantness of the body dwelling together. The unity is there. But he has another picture. He talks about the dew of Hermon in chapter verse 3. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. That's some explanations here. Hermon, he's speaking about Mount Hermon. Here's a picture of it. And the one on the right, all those red lines going up, those are not, you know, going to the heart, you know, arteries and stuff like that. In the middle of there, it's the best picture I could find. The middle of there is Mount Hermon. You can see it's a good distance above the Sea of Galilee. 60, 70 miles. I think probably this picture was taken from around the Sea of Galilee. Look at that mountain. I don't know about you. I like mountains. I like geography. But I never pictured a mountain that big in Israel. It's on the northern border. It's as far as Joshua's conquest went when they come in and took the land. It's as far as they went. It's on the border of Syria and Lebanon. It's 9,232 feet high. And they ski on it. That's beautiful. It's like, wow, really, in Israel, in that land? I was just like, I was kind of thinking, you know, a little mountain like in Kansas or something like that, you know. There's this big mountain, and they can ski on it, snowboard, and hike, and bike, and all the things that we do in regard to that. So he's picturing the dew on top of the mountain, the water that's there, how beautiful that is, because what does that water do? It flows into tributaries, little streams, and then one of those streams goes over to the Jordan River, and that Jordan River comes down from the Sea of Galilee, and it comes down by where Jerusalem is. That's Zion. That Zion can be used for like a fortress. It can be used for a citadel. It can be used for Jerusalem. It could be used for the whole land that's there. It's got a lot of different uses. But what he's saying there is the dew, the water that's up there, is really helpful for all this land. Listen, if anybody knows about how important water is, Pueblo does, right? We know how important water is. And when there's a good amount of water, what does it do? It grows things. Things green up. It becomes more beautiful than brown. That's what he's saying. The beauty of this, the goodness, when the brothers dwell in unity, the goodness and the pleasantness of it is like the dew and the water coming off this mountain. How precious it is for the land that is around there. If you've been to Israel, some of you have been there. The north part is green, up in there. You can see that. But as you get closer to Jerusalem, it becomes brown. It looks like us. Pretty desolate. Not much vegetation. There's a lot less vegetation than there is here. I know, hard to believe, but it is. It's amazing to me, but the beauty, what he's describing is, this is how good and pleasant the unity of the body was put in our terms. The body of Christ, the family of Christ, is because there's this water, and it does its work. And that's how beautiful unity is, too. He's describing it in terms for him to be able to understand. We try to put it into our world and to be able to see what God has. It's a beautiful picture once you understand that. The mountains of Zion, probably the area that is around Jerusalem, is what he's referring to. And again, they're not big mountains, okay? Jerusalem's like 2,000 feet above the Jordan River plain. Jordan River plain, Dead Sea's the lowest point on earth. But it's about 2,000 feet above that. The road from Jericho to Jerusalem is like driving Monarch Pass for like 15 miles. Except that it's not as windy. It's just like this. Buses are going about 20 miles an hour up that day. It just sits up on a hill. And that's what he's saying. This water comes down, and it comes into this area, and it blesses all this area, you know, 150 miles or so. It blesses all this area with water that things can grow. And unity is like that. Unity is really good. And it honors God, and it helps things grow, and the body of Christ to grow. Beautiful pictures as we best understand it there. Let me finish up. He says in verse 3, or at the end of verse 3, "For there the Lord has commanded the blessing." I'm reading it through this week, and I go, what is "for there" referring to? what's before it that he's referring to? And I think he's referring to this land of Israel, the mountains of Zion, the whole of this land. And he's saying that as unity is important and valuable and it's good and we see it, it benefits the land, it benefits the people of this area. For there, he says, about this blessing, the Lord has commanded the blessing. It's on them as they have come together and we see them come together, unity. There's a blessing on that. And one of it, the part of that blessing is life forevermore. Certainly, this is the way I put it in my words. Man's obedient actions will bring the Lord's earthly and eternal blessing. And we know that from Scripture, right? Our obedience will bring the Lord's blessing for here, but also someday for eternity. The crowns that are given to us, the worship we get to do of the Lord. But our obedient actions bring about the Lord's blessing for this time and also for that time, someday and eternity. So here's my big idea. We've had praise the Lord. We have blessed the blesser. We've had calm in the chaos. Today's is unity among the united. You can see a little mnemonic device that's going on there. BCU. Bless the blesser. Calm in the chaos. Unity among the united. We are united in Christ. Amen? That's what Jesus has done for us. We're united in Christ. He's brought us together. Anybody read their daily bread this morning? Doesn't look like anybody did. You need to get your daily bread out and read it. It's about being united. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What did he do? He talks about Ephesians chapter 2. He's brought the Jews and the Gentiles together. He abolished the dividing wall, the wall of hostility. He's done it. Now we're together. We're a family. We have unity among those who've been united in Christ. That's what he calls us to. So how are you working toward that? What are you doing to develop unity among the united here at Majestic? We're all called to do that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What am I doing to do that? He calls us to that. And it's a privilege to be able to do that, to help develop unity among the body of Christ. You're giving and you're serving, growing in relationship in Sunday school. That was an invite right there. I'd love for you to be involved in Sunday school. It's valuable coming together, being a part of each other's life, rubbing shoulders together, sharing prayer requests together, learning new things from one another. How valuable that is. These guys are going to Sudan in the end of September. We're going to participate in a little mission trip up to Fort Collins. It's not quite Sudan, but, pretty close. And we're going to go up there, and we're going to work with Send Relief. And we're going to do little projects around the city that will benefit the gospel, the kingdom. Maybe we'll help put on a barbecue. Maybe we'll help work in a neighborhood and do some cleanup for them. I don't know the projects yet, but I know these are projects they've done before. Maybe we'll help out and paint a school room for school. Churches up there find these projects. We go and we participate. There'll be people probably from across the United States and Colorado that will be there. Man, that'd be a great way to develop unity among the united. I'd love to have you join with me. I've got one person going so far. Going to be a great trip for us. And I'd love to have others join. Two people joined this morning, so we've got four of us now. Love to have you join us on that. There's a way to do it. You don't have to go to Sudan. Won't cost you nearly as much money. There's a way to go and make a difference, in a kingdom difference in a community like ours that needs Jesus. Another way we do it, just the Super Bowl is caring awesome. I appreciate you giving toward that to help the kingdom expand here in Pueblo. All right. Remember this verse we learned earlier? I know you got lots of memory verses that I'm giving you, but this is what we started off with, right? Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, Luke 2:52. Let's keep working on that. developing unity is a part of that. In favor with God and man, he says. Well, that's unity. That's being united. And Jesus showed that for us. And we want to keep working at it to bring honor to him. All right. Okay. There's the Valentine's thing day. Maybe I could finish out with, what does John 13, 34 and 35 say? Love one another as I've loved you. Just as I've loved you, love one another. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples. By what? By the love you have for one another. That's unity. And that's what he called them to. That's what Michael talked about. Unity. Developing, being together, loving one another, caring for one another. To do that, we will want to be together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. It's very picturesque as David writes this. Help us do a great job of being united. Being united in the unity we have in you. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for bringing everybody here together today. It's great to have them. We've united together for a great purpose. And in that, we demonstrate unity. Father, we thank you that you are great. You loved us enough to send your son. And we thank you for that. And would you join me just in singing How Great Thou Art, just the chorus. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you for being here today. You are sent.